Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Good morning. Again, we are early today because I'm heading down to day two of 49ers camp. And Robert Saleh is speaking. So yesterday was Kyle Shanahan, George Kittle, Nick Bosa. Today it is Robert Saleh. So I'm going to go down and converse with Robert Saleh today after we see what's going on today. I'm going to concentrate on the defensive line. But we'll do good and bad from day number one. You see the medical suitcase right there next to Jacob Cowing. That is not good. That is Upton Stout. He had a good day yesterday. It's just day one. And that is right next to him, D. Winters. He looked good today. So that is the cover of today's show. By the way, some people were telling me yesterday, and we got it straightened out. So YouTube is just this way before we get in. And welcome to a Thursday edition of the show. And it's going to be short, and we are early today because I am heading down, like I told you yesterday, to day two of 49ers camp. So we'll be quick today, and then we'll do what we did yesterday around 5 o'clock. We did a recap of day one of Niners camp. I may move back to about 6 o'clock tonight because I got something going on, but about 6 o'clock tonight, we'll do a recap of day number two. So good morning to everybody on YouTube watching on John Lund Unleashed. If you're watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio and X at John Lund Radio, you could be watching on the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn. Good morning. If you were watching the recap from yesterday that I did yesterday evening, it may have been taken down briefly because they had an ode to Ozzy Osbourne. And so I was filming Christian McCaffrey running around, and they had Ozzy going on. And I was like, that was cool. They had Crazy Train. And then, of course, as YouTube is wont to do, they gave me a copyright, and they pulled it down, and then I took that music out, and then it got edited, and it is back up. So if you want to watch an entire full recap of day one of training camp, just go to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. I'll do a brief recap of day one, but if you want a full recap of day one, it is episode 199, so it is episode one back, and I just had to remove the music from Crazy Train. So that may not make sense because I'm like, hey, it's Crazy Train, and you're like, I don't hear Crazy Train. I had to cut it out. Or else they wouldn't let me have that because it was a copyright issue. And it was like, well, it's just in the background, but YouTube don't play. So that's the way it is. Episode 200. Thanks for joining us for a brief edition of the morning show. And like I said, going down to Santa Clara today, and then we'll have more stuff. And I'm going to concentrate more on the defensive side. Yesterday was a wide receiver day, and so we'll get into that brief conversation. We'll recap that a little bit. Plus, as you see on the chalkboard there, camp day one, Jennings and the wide receivers, an injury, unfortunately. Defensively, Winters and Stout, those were the guys that stood out. Day two preview, as I said, I'm going to look more at the defensive line and more so Collins and Williams, the two rookies. I want to take a look at those guys a little bit more, so I'm going to hang around more on the defensive line and look at those drills. Don't get hurt. We've already had an injury with the Niners, and we've already had an injury that looks maybe significant that could alter one team's season at the quarterback position. We'll get into that quickly. We'll hit the Giants a little bit because Justin Verlander finally gets his first Giants win. Rafael Devers is hot and in a home run yesterday that unbelievable that ball went out of the ballpark. Adley Rutschman rumors for the Giants. I don't know if it makes any sense, but I'll bring them to you. Random stuff. There'll be quick random stuff today because we've got to be short. And then a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol is probably the hottest thing on social media and a major discussion point, and it could go nuclear. So we'll do that very quickly before we get out of here today as well. But good morning to everybody. Thank you for getting up early on this Thursday before I head down to Niners camp. By the way, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, or anybody on anybody, or if you want me to concentrate on something or shoot something while I'm down there today, please let me know. Because I'm always looking for thoughts, especially after day one, because day one was easy. Is Juwan Jennings going to be there? What's everybody looking like? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's more focus on the receivers. But today, it's a little bit more open, but I want to focus on the defense because we're going to get a chance to talk to Robert Saleh. So I want to concentrate on the defensive side today because there are so many open jobs. But if you've got something, let me No. So good morning to everybody this morning. I love that writing, by the way, Filmo. Very nice. Good morning to you. Good morning to AJ Cruz. It's nice to see you. Pine Needle, it is great to see you. Oil, hello. Good morning. Jake, good morning. Keeping the faith. It's nice to see you. Baba Booey. It is nice to see you again. EB, what's going on, man? It is football season, my friend. Scott, Papa J, it is great to see you. The Nutter. Hello, Nutter. Taylor, good morning to you, my friend. Dom, it is always good to see Dom. I got to get with Dom, man. Danny Golden TV. Hello, Danny. Join Danny's channel. He does stuff, too. He's in the Valley of the Sun, and it is warm there, warmer than it is here. At least we're getting to see the sun today. Naomi, good morning. Joy, good morning to you. It is great to see everybody. And again, thanks for getting up an earlier time. I went, okay, we're going to 9 a.m., and then I went to 8 a.m. We'll go normal time tomorrow. I don't need to go down tomorrow because they're doing special team stuff tomorrow, and it just does not thrill me. They're going to have Brant Boyer on the podium tomorrow. So I'm going to talk to Salah today, and then I'm going to take a day off, then go back over the weekend. So anyway, that's the deal. And it was cool to be down there and to see everybody. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but let's see who's competing for kick return. All right, I'll look at that. They did a bunch of special teams, by the way, by my count and having covered a lot of these training camps. They did much more special teams at the end. And you know how there was that debate at the end of the year? Does Kyle care about special teams? Well, with Brant Boyer, they did. They did a lot more block and a lot more, they're a lot more going at the punter and blocking and all sorts of different blocking schemes and everything. They always do the kicking stuff at the end, in which both kickers, Greg Joseph and Jake Moody, went 4 for 4. They went 30, 35, 40, and 50, and they both went 4 for 4. But I'll take a look at that stuff. Absolutely, I will. So anyway, good morning to everybody. Let's get going on everything. And as I said on the cover there, those were not the three main stories, but Jacob Cowing, hamstring injury, that's not great. And he's going to be out a while. Upton Stout got a lot of love from Kyle Shanahan yesterday. And D Winters had what would be a pick six. And again, I don't worry about interceptions. This isn't a thing that I'm talking about, Brock. It's just he did a nice job. And it seems like he's more under control this year. And it's just one day. But last year, he would get to the spot because of his speed, and he was just out of control when he got there, D. Winters. And maybe it's just some maturity this year that he actually got there, and he might be in control when he gets there. So that's why I put those three guys on the screen, because I thought those are three of the better players yesterday. So let's start on the offensive side, though, because wide receivers were the big deal yesterday. Let's talk about the wide receivers. The bad news first. Here is Kyle Shanahan asked about Jacob Cowing, and he reveals that Cowing suffered a hamstring injury yesterday.
Jake had one of the best OTAs out of anybody on our team in terms of most improved, most prepared for it. Unfortunately, I think he pulled his hamstring and routes on air today before we started. So I'd say to just keep on his trajectory. Hopefully he can stay healthy and keep going where he did in OTAs. He probably had a little setback today. So hopefully that's better news than what we're guessing out there, and get back to what he's doing in OTAs.
He says, hopefully it's better news than what we're guessing out there. And you know what? They got the trainers and everything, and it's not guessing. They know. So Jacob Cowing's going to have a setback. That's not good because, as I've told you on Cowing, it's not that I don't think he could be good. He was a great college receiver at Arizona, but he's 5'9", 175. And tell me how many receivers in the league at that size are having great success. It's just there's not a whole lot of them. So that's why height, weight, speed matters in the league, because you're trying to kind of emulate that type of a thing. And he was going to be a guy that maybe was going to be used on some of those jet sweeps and things like that, maybe in the return game. And that's going to hurt his progress. There's just no doubt about it. And you're already hurt and down at the position with Brandon Ayuk. Jennings, they're going to get a deal done with. I said this in the post of day one, and you can go back to episode 199 yesterday that I did yesterday afternoon after day one to get more on Jennings. I won't really go deep into that. He was on the field. They're going to get a deal done. I told you yesterday in this very same spot in the morning that it would show if Jennings was there, how far apart they were in a contract. The fact that he was on the field and he's joking around, he's having a good time. This isn't a situation like Ayuk. I think they're close. I heard when I was down there yesterday that they're going to get a deal done. Now, is it going to be $20 million a year? No. It's going to be a bump. I think it even might be for a couple of years, not just one, but we'll see. So there's that situation in the background. But this thing on Cowing, even though last year he wasn't a big part of the team, he had great OTAs. I thought he was going to be a guy that was going to be a quick guy in the slot, maybe be part of the return game and work in some jet sweep situations that Debo would have been. So I'm not going to call it a significant loss, but potentially they were going to use him in that way. And it's just going to be, it doesn't mean he can't be a guy that can't contribute this year. It's just that hamstrings are tricky, and it could be a couple of weeks up to a month. So that's not great news to start. Now, a guy who was already hurt, that's Ricky Pearsall. So here's some Ricky running around yesterday, and I hope I'm not going to get in trouble on this. You know what? Here, let me do this. There's Ricky running around because YouTube gets so pissy about music in the background, and we don't really need the music. There's Ricky running around right there. And I saw him across the field. This is a far field from where we are. Just to give you some context, we're on the field on the far end of the other field. So it's hard to see Ricky running around there. But there's some Ricky, and he's kind of jogging around. I saw him running harder than this from the far field. So, again, let me just reset this really quick. So, you know, you can see him doing some cutting and things like that. Kind of starting out slow here. But he did do even harder running than this yesterday when I saw him. And again, I was just kind of, I had far focus. So I had some camera work on him, but it wasn't very good. So this is much better. But you can see him cutting, and I'll play some stuff from Kyle Shanahan in a minute and when he expects Ricky to be around. But you can just see it's really more conditioning for Ricky at this point. It's not really the hamstring, which he hurt in OTAs. It's more his conditioning. So here's Kyle Shanahan when asked about where Ricky is and when he might get on the field for training camp.
He's someone that, I mean, if this was probably 3 years ago, he wouldn't practice in a day. I mean, when you hit your GPS speed, your max speed that you hit before you were hurt, when you can run all those routes, that's usually your protocol to go back. And he hit all that stuff over the weekend, which we felt good about, but he wanted to make sure his conditioning was right. So we're just doing that for 3 days, and he can continue to hit all that stuff, and his conditioning's good. I'd be surprised if he wasn't out there Sunday.
All right, so there you go. Ricky Pearsall on Sunday. I'm not worried about Ricky. It more for me is, okay, he had 14 catches in his last two games. He looked pretty good. He had the touchdown against Tampa. There were flashes from Ricky Pearsall. I liked him coming out. It was a surprise pick. But again, he's not a small guy. He's 6'1", 190, runs a 4.4 40, so he's got absolutely adequate speed. The reason they drafted him, let's go back to the Super Bowl, because Ricky runs really good routes. And against Kansas City in the Super Bowl, Trent McDuffie's a great corner. Snead, who then got traded to Tennessee because of financial deals. But Snead and McDuffie just shut down the 49ers receivers, and they're like, we got to get better route runners. So that's what Ricky's supposed to do, but he's an unproven commodity. So at the beginning of the season, it's going to be Jennings. It's going to be Pearsall. That's just the way it's going to be. And then it was supposed to be Cowing in the slot. That's what they were going to do, and that's why the Cowing thing is a big deal. Because another guy that I thought was really impressive, and again, it's one day, and we've seen DeMarcus Robinson. He was in Kansas City, was in with the Rams, and it wasn't like you were on the field going, wow, that guy's really good. But he's solid. He makes the plays he's supposed to make. He's had some drop problems in his career, but I think he's maybe over that, because when you see him up close, he wore number 5 yesterday for the 49ers in camp, so he's going to wear number 5, and he's bigger than you think. I mean, he's lean. He's long. He made a couple of nice catches yesterday in traffic in the 11-on-11 at the end of practice. I like the guy. He's got really good size, better size than you think. He's kind of a glider. He's not really a speed guy, but he gets open. He knows what he's doing. He can find the holes in the zone. I really like the guy, and it would have been nice if they had had him at the beginning of the year, but along the lines of what's going on with the wide receiver crew, there's an issue. He has a DUI, and he pled guilty to it just, I don't know, a week or two ago, and so he's going to miss the first couple games of the year. And if we go back to Ayuk, and on Tuesday of this week, John Lynch was not overly optimistic about Brandon Ayuk. He just said, look, there's not even a timetable. So I don't know who the third wide receiver is going to be. I don't know who the slot wide receiver is going to be at this point. And yesterday, there wasn't any talk. Remember, everyone was talking about Jordan Watkins in shorts. Oh, my God. There really wasn't a Jordan Watkins sighting yesterday. So I'll try to concentrate a little bit more on that and see where they are. And then one of the things Kyle Shanahan said in post day one was, yeah, we'll have our eyes open for a wide receiver. Now, does that mean Amari Cooper? Does that mean Keenan Allen? Does that mean, you know, I don't know. Those guys, you know, this is just my experience, and I'm sure you know this. They probably don't want to be much in camp. Everybody runs a version of Kyle Shanahan's offense. I'm sure they can pick it up rather quickly. So I would imagine maybe a week or two into camp, those guys would say, all right, I kind of need to get into shape. I guess I'll come in. So I wouldn't totally dismiss the fact that another receiver could come in. I know St. Brown came in. It's hard. He admitted that. He was asked about St. Brown, and he said, yeah, it's hard to pick it up. But he said, you know, there's similar terminology in the places he's been before here, so maybe he can. I think he's just a camp body, and I think they would try to upgrade a little bit more at the position. So anyway, that's a long version of that's the wide receivers, and that was the big story yesterday. And I think they would still like to upgrade at the position. So there you go. That's what's going on as far as the wide receivers. Not great that Cowing's hurt and that he could miss a couple of weeks. And when they say, yeah, we'll find out, you know, they go right to the player right when they get hurt, like a knee injury, they move the knee around, they know. You know, an Achilles, boom, boom, boom. They say, yeah, we got to do more tests. They know. Like, they know on the field what exactly is going on. So when Kyle says, you know, we hope it's not what we think it is, 9 times out of 10, they know right on the field. So that's not great news as far as injuries are concerned. So there you go. Jennings, the wide receivers. Winners and Stout. I told you about Winners to start the show. I thought he was very active. He was getting to the ball. And again, they're not in pads. They're not in pads until, I believe, Monday. And Kyle Shanahan was saying, you know, I want to get in pads. George Kittle went to the podium yesterday and was like, it's not really football until we get in pads. So, you know, you can only find out so much. They're in shells. They got pads. They got shoulder pads on. They got shorts on. They're not hitting anybody. Winners got what would have been a pick six, but he just looked active. He was getting to the ball. When they get pads on, I'll let you know, and that's when we'll really know. But it just looks like, and everybody's talking about it, that D. Winners had a nice offseason, and that maybe he's just, and we all get like this, like it's my first opportunity, and you're all amped up. And it looks like he's a little bit more settled down. At least that's what everybody's saying. So that is good news. That's why I gave him a little bit of love. And then the other part was, especially on the 11-on-11s, you can't tell as much in the drills. But then you get to the 11-on-11s. Upton Stout had a ball that went right through his hands and ended up being a completion, but could have easily been a pick six. He did, in 11-on-11s, he was all over the place, and they played him a ton in the nickel. So what's happening, what happens on day one is defensively, they're just going in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. They have a number one unit, but they're just rotating tons of different guys in. Upton Stout stayed a lot on the field with a lot of different combinations in the slot. So am I saying he's the starter? No, I'm not saying that. But he was in the slot a lot, wearing number 20. And Kyle Shanahan heaped some good praise on him after day one.
Rookie coming in, just throwing him into the nickel role. He almost made a hell of a play today. I thought he had a pick six, just mistimed it and actually gave up the completion. But it was really good coverage. But I was real excited with him in OTAs. And he's one of the guys where I think he's got a chance to compete to help us throughout this training camp and into the season.
Remember, the 49ers have had, as you know, but I'm just reminding you, the 49ers have had great success after the first round under John and Kyle. So I'm not saying that their first round pick, Mikael Williams, is not going to be good. I'm going to keep an extra close eye on him today. That Alfred Collins, their second round pick, he is gigantic. I'm going to keep a little bit closer on eye on him. Other than I just told yesterday, he's gigantic. Let's do a little bit better than that today. I'll try. But Upton Stout is a third round pick, and he's not big, obviously, and he's going to push Demo to the outside, and we'll see what else happens in that secondary. But I'm just going to keep an eye on him a little bit more today because he had a nice first day. He was, you know, he just around the ball a lot. He's one of those kind of guys, and that's what everybody said, is despite his size, he's an energy guy. He's kind of comp to Kaywan Williams. And so we'll see in day one, but certainly, or excuse me, day two today. But in day one, certainly he was all over the place. He was on the field a lot. I'm not saying he's the starter because there's a long way to go in this whole thing, but for one day, he lived up to what a lot of people thought he potentially could be. So that is Winners and Stout on the chalkboard there, day two. I've already kind of said this a little bit. With Robert Saleh going to the podium today for day two, what I'm going to focus in on is I'm going to stay on the defensive side. So we talked so much about receivers. Christian McCaffrey wasn't in on 11-on-11. It wasn't because he was hurt. I said this in the post last night, but just to let you know, Trent Williams didn't do 11-on-11. Burford was the backup left tackle there. They just rotate these guys. It's not that they're not in camp. It's not that they're not working in positional drills. It's just they don't do the 11-on-11 work. So when you see Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, guys like that, they just rotate them days off in the 11-on-11s. They've earned it. There's nothing to prove. Kittle, guys like that, they just don't need to be in it. And the same thing with Brock Purdy. They keep him on a pitch count. So you'll hear, you know, some of the guys who cover them on a regular basis, they'll say, you know, they were out today. It's not an injury related. So that's what that is. And then don't get hurt. What happened this morning, and you probably already heard about it because I think I was looking at the chat room and people were already talking about it. This happened this morning in New York. Jets quarterback Justin Fields carted off the practice field Thursday morning after suffering an apparent leg injury that came first from Adam Schefter. I don't know the latest. I haven't looked. That was probably a half hour ago. But the point is all this yip yapping that I do, this, that, blah, blah, blah. This guy looks good. It's just training camp. We'll see. Long way to go. 6-7 weeks to go here. But point is, and I talk about this in spring training as well. This pitcher looks good, and this hitter looks good, and this guy and that guy. Everybody has their own way to ramp this whole thing up. Now, rookies, it's a little bit different, but, you know, all these guys, and this guy made a great catch, and this guy, we have to report from camp. So it's like, oh, was this the catch of the day? Was this the tackle of the day? Was this the, it's one day at a time, and we have to come up with content, right? And so we tell you what the day was like. Does it at the end of the day mean something? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But the main thing is, above everything else that anybody reports from 49ers camp, it's about injuries. Just nobody get hurt. And for like the Jets today, this could alter their season. Hell, I don't even know who their backup is. Do you? I don't know who the Jets backup quarterback is. And like, I'm not a Justin Fields fan. He's a great runner. He has not proven to be a thrower. And I don't think that Justin Fields is going to be some great savior for the Jets. But in the NFL, the biggest gap, I think, between any position in sports is the starting quarterback to the backup quarterback. So I don't even know who their backup is. Can somebody look it up real quickly? But the reality is that's not good. And so, you know, from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones or whoever you like, Taylor Mordecai, that's a massive jump. So you don't want to see anybody on the 49ers. That's what I mean. Jacob Cowing this early in camp, given the fact that Brandon Ayuk's not going to be back for week one and DeMarcus Robinson has to sit out because of a DUI, the presumed, unless there's an injury, starters for week one for the Niners were at receiver, Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pierce outside, and Jacob Cowing inside. That was probably going to be your starters. Boom. Day one practice, hamstring, probably 2 to 4 weeks for Jacob Cowing. Damn. Who's going to be your slot guy? Jordan Watkins? Are you going to pick somebody up? Are you going to pick up an outside guy and that moves Jennings inside? Like, what are you going to do? Pierce can play the slot? Like, I don't know. So one day into camp, you're like, damn, this wide receiver thing, man. So now the Jets are going, what is this? So above everything else, injuries, injuries, injuries. You know that. I'm just reminding you. All right. So day two is going to be about defense today, and I will have a review of day two a little bit later. And again, the whole reason we're here early, if you're just jumping in, going down to camp for day two today, and we'll get a chance to talk to Robert Saleh, and I'll shoot more video and all that kind of stuff. And we will have a complete review today at about 6 p.m. Pacific time. And by the way, stay with John Lund Radio, at John Lund Radio on X, because just like yesterday, I'll post a bunch of stuff from camp as we go, and then we'll have a full recap at 6 o'clock. So just so you know. And by the way, if you're on X right now watching, if you're on Instagram, come on over to the chat room and say good morning to everybody. If I haven't, Joji, good morning to you. It is great to see you, my friend. Christian, haven't said good morning to you. James, good morning to you. Jacob, hello. It is great to see everybody. A bunch of people jumping in for Niner season. Very, very cool. James, I did not see Pickens' injury there. Let's see. But yeah, that's the only thing you're looking at. Humboldt Fats, it is good to see you this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody. Keeping the faith. I think I saw you this morning. But anyway. You know that, though. I'm just reminding you. Everything is cool, and it's great to get information, but just injuries are everything. All right, so day two, and we'll have a full recap at 6 o'clock. And then remember to stay at John Lund Radio on X, and I will be sending you stuff throughout the day. Hi, J49. All right, as far as the Giants are concerned, Justin Verlander got a win. Justin Verlander got a win. Justin Verlander got a win. Here's Bob Melvin talking about
throwing it. Upwards of, 40 pitches close in the first inning. I mean, there's some toughness involved in that. You know, a lot of heat out there. You know, he knows that bullpen-wise we're a little beat up, too. To get through the first was huge for him, and then he ran pretty good after that. And gave us five and got a win, and it was celebrated pretty good in there.
It looked like someone was starting to get loose in the bullpen during that first inning. How many batters did Verlander have left?
Man, I didn't want him to throw 50. I was willing to let him throw into the 40s, but 50 would have been too much.
So there you go. Bob Melvin, give him a little rope because he didn't want him to Didn't want to have to take him out of there early, but Justin Verlander now 1-8 on the season, gets the win for the Giants. They win the series against the Braves, and now they move on. And here's what's going on as far as the schedule is concerned. And they're two games back of the Padres for that last spot. So this is what it looks like as far as the schedule is concerned. And this is interesting now, because they come home this weekend, the Mets. That's going to be tough. That's a wild card team. But now, after that, okay, you get Pittsburgh. Then you get the Mets again. But then you got some chances here. Pittsburgh stinks. Washington stinks. All right? Now, the trade deadline, let me go back for a second here. Your trade deadline is right up here after Pittsburgh. Hopefully, you sweep Pittsburgh here. You're feeling good. You make a move here right after Pittsburgh. Okay, then after New York, look. 3 Pittsburgh, 3 Washington. We've been through this before and they didn't play well. Now, here comes San Diego. 3 San Diego, Tampa, back San Diego. So you got 7 here against San Diego. The team that you're, this is going to decide your season right here. I know we'll say this a million times, but 7 against San Diego. You're 2 in the loss column behind San Diego. So this is coming up briefly. Then this doesn't get easy. Milwaukee and Chicago are fighting for the Central. Do you know that Milwaukee has the best record in baseball right now? Milwaukee, the team that loses like a million guys every single year. Milwaukee has the best record in baseball. It's unbelievable. So that's what's coming up as far as the Giants are concerned. They got a bunch of winnable games. And we said this, right before the All-Star break? We were like, look at all these games they can win. Look at all these bad teams they're playing. And they sucked. Remember White Sox? Who else was in there? Bunch of bad teams. And they didn't take advantage of it. They got to do it this time. How the hell did Rafael Devers hit a home run on that pitch? I'm no longer doing video because YouTube just pulls it down. How the hell did he hit a home run on that pitch? For those people who were stupid enough to say that was a bad trade with the Red Sox, come on, man. He hit 2 home runs yesterday, and I'm not just saying it because he hit 2 home runs. The dude is one of the top 10 hitters in baseball. He had a little bit of an adjustment issue, whatever. He can. This guy's so good, he can carry him in the second half. He hit a home run off that pitch. Look at where that pitch is. He hit a home run. I mean, you saw it. I'm just reiterating. He's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. And this is what he's done. And this is a small sample size. I get it. What is that? 26 at-bats, 385, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, 26 at-bats since the All-Star break. And as Jeff says, I think he's going to be okay. I never doubted it for a second. I don't think anybody in this room did. There were people saying that they thought it was a bad trade. I don't know if you've seen, again, it's not because of who he was traded for, because they just didn't give up much. I like Kyle Harrison. He's in the minors. They're trying to make him a starter and give him more pitches, a more variety of pitches. So, look, I'm not saying they were perfect yesterday, but they take 2 of 3. The Mets aren't going to be easy, but you're coming home. You got to have a little bit of confidence here. And then you got the Pirates, then the Mets again, then the Pirates, then the Nationals, and then it's on, man. You got 7 games with a sandwich of Tampa Bay in between it. You got 7 games against the Padres. They're 2 ahead in the loss column. Get your heads on straight, man. You got to go. You got to roll, man. That's the team. That's who you're going to battle with. I think the Cardinals are flawed. I think it comes down to that last wild card spot. It's going to come down to the Padres and the Giants. And the Padres, you know what A.J. Preller is going to do. They're going to be aggressive at the deadline. And it depends. I'm not going to say it depends on who they get at the deadline. But now that Landon Roop has solidified that number 3 spot, you know, do they go starter? I would like to see that. And then I think that you're not going to be overly excited maybe about what they do. But I think now that I think Devers can play first base, I think that if you get, you know, you get a above average second baseman. And again, I owe someone, I forgot who said it, but a couple of days ago they said, and Casey Schmidt went and said, I'm shaving my head. Casey Schmidt's been good. I still reserve the right to make it a little bit larger of a sample size for Casey Schmidt, but Casey Schmidt's been good. I got to give it up to him. And yeah, you're right, Pine Needle. Bailey's been better. Got to give it up to him. But they got to be more consistent. They got to do it in a bigger sample size. So, but it's better. It's better. Adley Rutschman rumors, by the way, and I don't know where they're coming from. It might've been made up. I have no idea where they're coming from. Let me just throw something up really quick on Adley Rutschman. It just depends on which dude you'd be getting. I mean, Bailey'd be going the other way. Rutschman's not the defender that Bailey is. It just depends on which dude you're getting. I mean, if you're getting the first 2 years, yeah, I'd be interested in this dude. You know, if you're getting like the first few, you know, a couple, 2-3 years, I mean, OPS of 806 from your catcher, you know, yeah, I'd be interested in that guy, 809 the second year. But then this dude, I mean, the dude this year, now he's hurt and he's close to coming back. But if I'm getting this dude, you know, I think Patrick Bailey can get to this level and he's a better defender. 691 OPS, 8 home runs, 20 RBIs. Now he's been banged up, but, you know, he was an all-star on reputation maybe in 2024. You know, 80 RBIs a couple of last 2 years. He's a 20 home run guy. I mean, if you're getting 20 home runs and 80 RBIs out of your catcher with an above 800 OPS, you're doing a pretty good job. So if I'm getting the first 2 years of a Adley Rutschman, yeah, okay. He's only 27 years old. I mean, I like Adley Rutschman. He's a nice player. You're giving up Patrick Bailey. The one thing I keep saying about Patrick Bailey is, remember, they're bringing in the ABS system. And eventually, they're bringing in the robo-ump. And Patrick Bailey's value is going to go like that. Unless he starts hitting. And, you know, he's been a hitter in his career. I mean, he's not going to be a 300 hitter with 20 home runs. But Patrick Bailey, if Patrick Bailey's a I was going to say a 260 hitter. I'm going way back. If Patrick Bailey's a 230 hitter that can hit, I don't know, can he hit 12 home runs and knock in 60? I mean, I don't think that's too much to ask for Patrick Bailey. 12 home runs, 60 RBIs, 235, 240. I know, I just did a question mark. 235, 240? I don't know. I think he could do that. And how much does his value drop when the ABS system comes and eventually robo-umps? You know, I don't know. That's definitely a question. So, I don't know. What do you think of Rutschman? What do you think of Rutschman rumors? I don't think the Giants would do it. Not this year. I don't think they'd do it this year. So, that's the latest as far as the Giants go. What kind of time do I got? I got to roll here. I got to get going in the next 5 minutes. So, if you just joined us, episode 200, Camp Day 1 re-reviewed. Jennings and the wide receivers with a big story. Jennings on the field. Cowan getting hurt. Ricky off to the side. But Kyle Shanahan said he's going to practice on Sunday unless there's a setback. Defensively, standouts included D. Winters and Upton Stout, the third-round pick, undersized but feisty nickel. Day two preview, because Robert Saleh's going to the podium today, I'm going to be looking at the defensive line specifically. So I'll be sending out video, but also 6 o'clock, we'll do a recap tonight. Don't get hurt. Justin Fields got hurt and carted off the field in New York. For the Jets today, not great. That is number one. Verlander finally gets a win. Devers is hot. Rutschman rumors. We haven't done a lot of random stuff today. Anybody got any random stuff? I do know that today, hello, Mr. Safford SF Giants, forever SF Giants. What's going on, man? Good to see you, my friend. I do know today is National Tequila Day, by the way, which we had in college. And I'll just tell you, and I know you're going to think this is weird. I'll give you a random right here. We had in our fraternity house a, I don't know what I would call it, a social shower. There was like 6 nozzles, and that's what you just did in the morning. And for National Tequila Days, it was always one of the football games during the year. I went to Utah State, so it was either against Utah or BYU, and we would have a tequila bottle and limes, and you would just pass it down the line. Next, 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 and you're sitting there naked in the shower at like 9 o'clock in the morning doing tequila shots. It was wild, and that was our National Tequila Day. So there you go. Probably had a drinking problem in college. So there you go. Yep, probably had a drinking problem in college. I did, absolutely. By the way, if you want a full recap of day one, I know it was down for a minute because of the Crazy Train song that the Niners were playing, and YouTube was like, ah, I freaked out. I did edit that, and it is back up. So if you want a longer version of recap day one, go back to episode 199, which is on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, right? So there you go. Yeah, National Tequila Days. You're not a tequila guy, Humboldt? You're not a tequila guy? I don't mind it. I don't mind it. It's not my favorite. If I had to do shots, it would not be my favorite. I'm more of a whiskey guy for sure. I like margaritas. You know, I can go with a margarita. Let's see. Did somebody said something about Adley. Yeah, I don't think Adley Rutschman's coming this year. I think it could be an offseason thing because I got to believe that the Giants are – you know, bouncing around the fact that when the ABS comes and eventually robo umps, like what's going to be the value or what's Bailey's value? Is it going to drop? I mean, look, great at blocking balls. You know, those kind of things. Great defensive guy. He can throw all those kind of things. Get me credentials. I'll be your assistant carrying all your bags, all your equipment. Let me see what I can do. I don't know what kind of pull I got. You like, are you a rum person? I don't mind rum. I don't hate rum. I don't hate rum. You know, I don't hate rum. All right. Should we do a sweet, clean, family friendly Caboose Pistol before we get out of here? Cause we didn't do one yesterday and my God, it's all over the internet. And this is not a political show. This is not a political show, nor is this a political statement.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. Here's John.
All right. Again, I'm not going to play anything because YouTube freaks out anytime you play something. I'm sure this is copyrighted. And you probably know the story. So Colbert got fired, right? Paramount. Paramount's trying to sell. Trump's suing Paramount. So this is all media related. This is not political, and I'm not making a political statement. And I know politics and sports don't mix. I know. This is by no means a political show at all, if you're new around here. But this thing swept like wildfire through social media last night. It was unbelievable. So anyway, South Park, everybody knows South Park, season 27, episode one was last night, and they don't shy away from anything. And so Trump is suing everybody and Paramount and all this kind of stuff. And they got finally a deal done with Paramount. It's very complicated, lawsuits, all this kind of stuff. So anyway, South Park and episode number one, season 27. And you know the thing with the devil and Saddam Hussein and all that kind of stuff. So they reprive that relationship, but Saddam Hussein's dead. So then they do it, but Trump takes the role of Saddam Hussein. And there's a lot of penis jokes in there. So did you see the episode last night? Or you had to have at least seen it on social media. Because if you're on social media at all, you had to have seen it. You had to have seen it. But I'm just showing you some pictures. So there's that part, which Trump's going to freak out about. But then did you see the PSA? The PSA is unbelievable. And this is where he's going to lose his mind. They did obviously an AI version of this thing, and his penis was a talking penis, and he was out in the middle of the desert. I highly advise you to go watch it, whether you're, you know, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, whatever. And again, I'm not making a political statement. I'm just saying, if you didn't see the South Park, oh my God, this is going to go nuclear. That's all I'm saying. Unbelievable. South Park, episode one, season 27, lawsuits, Paramount, where this is going to go. Those guys got paid $1.5 billion by Paramount, who's trying to get acquired, who were already paid off. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's going to go nuclear. So anyway, just so you know, just go to social media. Just go to social media, put in South Park. It is unbelievable. That's all I'm going to say. It is unbelievable, this story. And if you don't know the story of it, just go back a little bit, because it's not as simple as South Park makes fun of our president. It's way deeper than that, and it has to do with lawsuits and, like I said, Colbert being canceled and all. I mean, it's a twisted tale. Let's just put it like that. And South Park has gone after a lot of people. They have, I don't think, and I've watched South Park for a long time. It's funny. I don't think they've ever eviscerated or torched or whatever word you want to use anyone quite like this. It is unbelievable. Anyway, I will leave you with that. All right. If you missed anything, go back to the front of the show. We'll be back at a regular time at 9 a.m. tomorrow. But remember, I'll be back. I will do a full review of training camp day two. I'm leaving right now down to Santa Clara. And we will do a full recap. 6 p.m. tonight Pacific. Come back. And then tomorrow we'll be back at the regular 9 a.m. time. Everybody have a wonderful, what is today, Thursday? Wonderful Thursday. If you want a full recap of day one, episode 199 accomplishes that. Have a wonderful day, everybody. And we'll talk to you at about 6 o'clock tonight for a recap of day number two. day number.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!